Dave for breakfast. 50 years of Port Hedland.
From the studios of Triple M on the coast, the northwest coast of Western Australia, we are looking at the history of Hedland, Port and South, two little communities on the northwest coast, some 1,600 kilometres away from the nearest capital city or state capital city in Australia, that being Perth. Julie Matheson joined us recently to talk about her early days in the town of Port Hedland. I've got her back on the phone. Now, Colin Matheson, Colin Peter Matheson, as some of us like to refer to him, was the architect of football. He enjoyed his footy, and when he came up to Port Hedland, there wasn't a football competition as such until Colin Matheson got involved. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Dave. Great to talk with you again.
Tell us about Colin. He was, as we discussed last time, he was a company or a postal officer in town, but he did have this passion for footy, and there was no organised football until Colin and his bunch of his mates decided to put together somewhat of a competition. It might have only been two teams in the early days, but it's certainly evolved since the early part of the 1960s to six teams now across four different towns.
Yes, isn't that amazing to think that football has grown to be a widely accepted sport in the Pilbara? Who would think that you could play football on those really hard surfaces?
Oh, yeah.
And in the heat with the flies and the dust, and who could have ever thought that? But, exactly. His dad was a visionary for the town of Port Hedland. He couldn't wait to get to arrive in Port Hedland. He visited the town in the early late 50s when his mum first moved to Port Hedland. And in 1962, he arrived in town with his new bride and set about what I would say is dad's vision for the town, which included sport, because there wasn't very much to do in Port Hedland at the time, and he was planning a family, and he could see that there was a lot of talent in the town. There were the two rival pubs. There was the Pier Hotel and the Esplanade, and that was a bloodbath most weekends.
Yep, and for those people that don't know Port Hedland, that geographically they're about 40 metres apart.
Yes. And so there was the two pubs. And also, the Roman Catholic Church was developing its land and facilities in Port Hedland at the time. So Dad could see an opportunity there with the two pubs, the Roman Catholic Church, and also the Aboriginal communities. There was state housing, were building homes for the Aboriginal people on Anderson Street, and then out at Three Mile, I think it was called Three Mile at the time.
Yep.
So he could see the potential there for footy. And Dad was an umpire. He'd been umpiring in some of the country towns that he grew up in, and he wanted to get football underway in Port Hedland.
All right. So, and I can imagine, much like my upbringing in the regional towns in the Pilbara, that initially the first couple of teams might have been the townies versus the miners or something similar.
Yeah, funny you should say that, because I did look back at the history of the game, and a guy by the name of Ken Reddles was researching the history of the Port Hedland Turf Club, and he came across an article which he sent to me, which was dated the 2nd of July 1927, and it was a game reported in a newspaper between Port Hedland and the De Grey Shearers. And Port Hedland won 5-5 behind to Pipangara, 2-1 behind. So that's the first ever recorded game of football, I feel, that I've been, anyway, that I've been able to find, at least Ken has been able to find.
Well done,
so,
Ken.
Yes, good on him. It was great. I think he's done a great job researching the Port Hedland Turf Club there. So
now with football, yeah, with Colin's interactions and getting things underway, as you say, he was a sports fanatic. He wanted to develop sport in the town to give people something to do. It eventually led to the formation of the De Grey Football League, which was essentially named after one of our rivers in the area. And there was probably four, maybe six teams initially. Sadly, there's only a couple of them left. Obviously, Shea Gap and Goldsworthy have closed down, so they don't have teams anymore. But Finucane used to have a team based out at Finucane Island, and their ground was shells at one end and prickles at the other. So it was an interesting concept to play footy on.
Yes. Yeah, the guys would do they call it an emu march. Mm-hmm. And they walk across the ground in single file, picking up rocks and sticks to get rid of anything that could cause them any serious damage. So that was the process. I think Dad's original start of football in Port Hedland was in 1967 when he formed the Port Hedland Football Association. Mm-hmm. And it was formed between three clubs, Finucane Island, Rovers and Towns.
Yep.
So Finucane Island was Goldsworthy's town site, mm-hmm, and they were under construction there because they were exporting out their first lot of iron ore. So that's in 1967. And Rovers and Towns were, one was based at the Esplanade Hotel and the other one at the Pier Hotel. Mm. So that's those three clubs. Then Dad organised some games between Goldsworthy mining town and then Marble Bar.
Yep.
So Dad was the umpire. He would gather up the best footy players from Port Hedland, including driving out to the Aboriginal reserves and picking out the best footy players from the Aboriginal reserves, taking them to either Marble Bar or Goldsworthy to compete, to play a game of football. And then Dad was also the local reporter.
Of course
the ABC
he was.
News. Yeah, of course he was. And the photographer for the West Australian. So Dad would then report, he'd go and umpire these games and then report on the games, and it would get in the news on ABC and in the West Australian newspaper. So that was back in those days in 1967. And then, as you quite rightly mentioned, in 1969, Dad got together with the Marble Bar Football Association. I think might have been Noel Crichton Brown had an interest in that at the time, because he's certainly in the photographs of the Marble Bar Football Club. And they formed the De Grey Football Association with, as you said, five teams, including Marble Bar. But Marble Bar only lasted till 1971, and then in 1975, two other teams were admitted, was South Hedland Swans and Goldsworthy Shea Gap Hawks. Football just flourished, and there are so many fabulous stories. But I have to name Goldsworthy Mining Company were a big supporter of Dad's football. They had three teams. So the Goldsworthy workers came from Finucane Island, from Goldsworthy and Shea Gap. And, you know, there's so many funny stories. I've created a website to try and capture some of these stories where when Goldsworthy were recruiting workers to come in, up to Goldsworthy or Shea Gap or to Finucane Island, there was a guy in Goldsworthy who used to scan for all the best players that were arriving in town, and he would get them for the Goldsworthy Footy Club. And Goldsworthy were really strong back in the early 70s. They were a really strong team because of what was going on. Yes, very, very good stories. Rob Bennett actually told a story about Rovers Footy Club. I'm not sure whether Bev might have mentioned this, but Rob Bennett was the coach of Rovers, and there was a big rivalry between the two pubs. Anyway, Rovers beat Panthers in the grand final, and Rob Bennett, who was the coach, he was also a reporter for the West Australian, he was celebrating the win over Panthers. So somebody went and registered Rob Bennett as a dog at the Port Hedland Shire and then presented him with his dog collar. and Rob's passed away just recently, unfortunately, but he always tells that story. It was so funny.
Oh, goodness me. That story of the recruiting reminds me of a chat we had with the Port Hedland Netball Association. They celebrated their 50 years in 2022, and one of their early day founders, if you like, life member now, Lorraine Thorby, used to go and camp herself at the airport when the planes were coming in and just have a look at the girls that were coming off the plane and say, "Do you play netball? Do you play netball? You're now playing for my team. You're now playing for my team."
I just think that's a fabulous story for Pilbara Sport.
Julie Matheson, the eldest daughter of Colin Matheson. Now, Julie, the family must be pleased as punch. Not only is there a football ground named after the great man in Port Hedland, but the fairest and best medal in the reserve grade competition across the North Pilbara Footy League has been named after Dad as well. And so the family must be, I guess, pleased as punch that Dad's legacy lives on.
I certainly am, and I can't say my thanks enough to the committees that are still in Port Hedland. They still promote football. I can't thank the Shire Council, the Town of Port Hedland, as they're known now, for their, honouring Dad's legacy to the town, with the Colin Matheson Oval and Matheson Drive, named after Dad. I'm forever grateful for everybody's contribution in helping to keep, the history of the town alive and certainly Dad's memory. I really appreciate it.
Julie, thanks very much for talking to us on our Historic Hedland podcast. I hope one day we can get you back in the Pilbara for more than a couple of nights, maybe even bring you up for a game of football or two.
Yes, I really love to come back to Port Hedland and help, celebrate the wins in the town and celebrate footy.
Julie Matheson joining us today, talking about her father, Colin Matheson, one of the architects, the founders of Australian football on the northwest coast of Western Australia in the town of Port Hedland.